The psalm passage that is chosen is from Psalm 40. I invite you to listen for the word of God. I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your back on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you, O God. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you. Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. So I answered, I'm coming. I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I'm coming to the party you're throwing for me. That's when God's word entered my life and became part of my very being. I preached you to the whole congregation. I've kept nothing back, God. You know that. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret, didn't keep it to myself. I told it all, how dependable you are, how thorough. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth for myself alone. I told it all. Let the congregation know the entire story. Now, God, don't hold out on me. Don't hold back your passion. Your love and truth are all that keeps me together. The word of the Lord. And also, I'm reading both of these passages, by the way, from Eugene Peterson's The Message. So it's probably quite a bit different from something that's in your pew Bible. And there's good reason for that. We need to be astounded again by hearing God's word in ways that are different than we've perhaps heard them before. And I'm also reading this morning from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and going through through verse 9. So here the beginning of this letter to one church that really is addressed to us all. I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus, the Messiah, according to God's plan, along with my friend Sosthenes. I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth, believers cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus, wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master, Jesus Christ, be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God Himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of His Son and Master, our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. He will never give up on you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us sing together number 5. Please be seated. Anya, tell us what key is that hymn in that we just sang? What? F minor. One of the things I love about the hymnody of the church, and this fits into my sermon, it really does, is that like the blues, a lot of our church music doesn't sound the way the words should make it sound. Did you notice that? That hymn, there'll be joy, and it shouldn't be sung without energy. Am I right? It should be sung with energy, but it should also be sung in the minor key that it's in. Because, to my view, and my guess is to yours, there's not joy in the morning right now. Amen? It's okay to say that out loud. You don't have to give up your Presbyterian card. I long ago would have given up mine if I had to do that. But I thank you for your first time guest musician here. Thanks for being here, and thanks for letting us know that it's important the way that our hymns and our songs are written. I remember being about 8 years old in my home church in Roswell, Georgia. I grew up in Roswell Presbyterian Church, and we had the weathered maroon hymnal that had the responsive readings. And I remember being about 8 years old, sitting there in worship, realizing that this dog-eared, well-loved, velveteen rabbit of a book that we call the hymn book was much more used than the pristine pew Bibles that were over here. And I thought then, you know, where we get our theology is from what we sing. I mean, certainly we do get it from the Word of God, amen. But a lot of it comes from how we sing and what we sing together. So it's okay if you dog-ear and you use the Bible as well as the hymn book. And it really kind of set me on a path that is all about what I'm preaching about this morning. About 2 months ago, I began on Facebook posting songs to my profile with a hashtag, Songs We Need Right Now. And for those of you who don't do Facebook or other social media, a hashtag is that, it looks like the pound symbol. So if you put it, sorry for the popping of the peas, if you put the hashtag at the beginning of a phrase, what it does is it serves as a way of indexing everything that has that hashtag and phrase on it. Because I was already posting these songs that after the election, I felt like we need right now. So from about November 17th on, I think that was my first day of hashtagging this, there is this indexing of songs that I have collected, and some other people have done it as well. The first one I put the hashtag on was a song by Pete Seeger called We Are the Boat, Somos el Barco. One of the, as I've continued to go through the days and nights since the election, I have continually wanted to find a way to move to a place of positivity, to move to a place of not grumbling and complaining, to move to a place of love and realization that love sometimes is not enough, that we've got to speak and speak out and to speak up and to speak on behalf of those who are afraid right now. And a lot in our culture and society are afraid right now. So I've begun collecting these songs, and it's really interesting. As I look back, I could post a psalm every day. I mean, if you listen intently to that Psalm 40, that's another song that we need right now. And in fact, the whole book of Psalms is a hymn book. Those were songs that were needed then and are needed now, and go to every one of the human emotions, every single one. Right now would be a great time to study and deepen your understanding of what all of the Psalms are about. And this one, sometimes called the Mud Psalm, this one attributes it to David. Is about pulling myself up, pulling ourselves up from this muck and mire that we feel like we're in. Pretty descriptive for how I feel right now and how I sense that a lot of us are feeling in these days as we move to and celebrate a change of office and leadership. In the last couple of days, on my and other people's Facebook pages, Representative John Lewis made some very brave statements that, quite frankly, I'm going to tell you here from what I do not consider a bully pulpit, but I will get political. I try not to get partisan, but I will agree with Representative John Lewis. We are in a time when we need to not only love, as Mark so bravely and beautifully said this morning, but we also need to speak up on behalf of love. And I would be doing this location and you, this congregation, who has been pastored by Z. Holler and Jim Dollar. Do you folks look for people with that kind of that rhyming sound on their name? It just occurred to me. You know, I would be doing a disservice to the Word of God and to this congregation to not be bold and say from this pulpit and in this place that there is enough love for us all, regardless of who we love, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of what it is we even believe about the deity. There is enough love for every last blessed one of us. I was really privileged to be earlier this morning at a worship service at the corner of Friendly and Church Street, down there near the library, to celebrate the beginning of 150 years of worship and ministry at St. James Presbyterian Church. We met outside, and by the end of the service, I was in tears thinking about the fact that 150 years ago right now, freed slaves who were members at First Presbyterian in Greensboro said, "We want to worship in a space that's ours." And there was a home there at the corner of Friendly and Church Street where they worshiped for a few years. And a couple of years later, they moved out to the site where they are currently. One of the pastors over the 150 years of that congregation is our newly elected stated clerk of the General Assembly of the PCUSA, Reverend Dr. J. Herbert Nelson. He's going to be preaching later this year at St. James, and I really invite you and encourage you to come hear one of the best preachers on the planet right now. Amen. So back to what I've said about John Lewis, and I knew that I was going to be singing a song that we need right now today. I just didn't know it would be this one. So one of my songs that came out 10 years ago has at the beginning of it a piece that you hear John Lewis speaking about what a dangerous time it was there in 1961. When he and others chose to not only sit in, but ride in for the freedom rides, And I wrote this song called Lyrical Freedom Riders that on the recording is introduced by John Lewis. So in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his vision, which really is ours, in honor of the bravery of John Lewis and his service, and in honor of those who in 1961 and from then on continue to make their statement, I want to sing this song for you. It was spring 1961. Overdue change had yet begun. It's time to test a federal law that stated public transit will admit all persons who are riding it, regardless of color, no longer segregated. But heads were turned when anger vented. The law was rarely implemented, despite requests to enforce the court's ruling. The Corps launched Freedom Rides in May that broke the ground and paved the way to integrate this land, however grueling. All through the day, into the night, nothing had ever felt so right. They were almost there, almost gone. All through the night into the day, freedom to ride, freedom to stay. We're almost there. Almost gone. In Anniston on May 14th, fury flared as they'd foreseen, beating the riders, bombing a bus with fire. But they'd trained to not retaliate, to bear the blows, absorb the hate, and from this road they never would retire. Then a student's call from Nashville came, more to ride in freedom's name, and nationwide came fearless freedom riders. Hundreds rode so all could ride, took a stand seated side by side. Freedom songs from lyrical freedom riders. All through the day, into the night, nothing had ever felt so right. It was almost theirs, almost gone. All through the night, into the day, freedom to ride, freedom to stay. They were almost there, almost gone. Singing, we shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. Deep in my heart, I do believe we'll overcome someday. By June, they'd been detained, arrested, their spirits sat, their testing tested. But even then, their resolve was not decreasing. From parchment cells, they sang the songs, with their eyes on the prize to right the wrongs. Freedom songs of good news, never ceasing. Hunger strikes and dungeon chatter, on they sang and getting louder, singing it out, there are no outsiders. some hearts were finally altered by those who fell and seldom faltered, bound by the songs these lyrical freedom riders. All through the day, into the night, nothing had ever felt so right. They were almost there, almost gone. All through the day, into the night, nothing had ever felt so right. It was almost there. Almost gone. Sing it with me. You know this song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe that we shall overcome someday. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "A religion true to its nature must be concerned about man," and he meant everyone, men and women, "man's social conditions. Religion deals with both earth and heaven, both time and eternity. Religion operates not only on the vertical plane, but also on the horizontal plane. It seeks not only to integrate men with God, but to integrate men with men and each man with himself. This means at bottom that the Christian gospel is a two-way road. On the one hand, it seeks to change the souls of men and thereby unite them with God. And on the other hand, it seeks to change the environmental conditions of men so that the soul will have a chance, will have a chance after it is changed. Any religion that professes to be concerned with the souls of men and is not concerned with the slums that damn them, the economic conditions that strangle them, and the social conditions that cripple them, is a dry as dust religion. Ours is not a dry and dust religion. And it is made that way by us, by those who adhere to it and not only love, but speak up on behalf of love. Get ready, for we need to be speaking up a lot from here on. And the truth is, we've been needing to for a long time. And the truth also is that a lot of us have been for a long time. Go boldly and speak boldly in love, speaking truth to power, knowing that ours is not the victory. It's God's. Ours is not the calling. It's God's that we answer. Go forth and look for and sing songs that we need.